Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And if it is the third Tuesday of every month between 2 and 3, it must be Mind Your Own Business. And that's right, Mind Your Own Business, starring Barbara Haggerty. Hey, Barb.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. I called you Barb.
You did.
I have never done that on the air before.
Yeah, you're getting very personal. That's very personal.
Uh-oh, Kurt. Is that too personal?
Yeah, that's too personal.
Wow, these new headsets are sort of cool. I think.
He's changing the subject.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It's an NLP technique.
And yeah, it is. And for you people to see how personal I'm getting.
Yeah, how could you call me Barb?
We're on Ustream. See, people can actually view us see how personal I'm getting.
Now you tell me.
This is good. I hear something. And, of course, if you want to view us, it's
Kurt's
Break.
In the closet.
That's right. BreakRadioShow.com. That's BreakRadioShow.com. And you can actually see how personal I am getting. Now, I love your outfit.
Thank you.
So you got to get on Ustream to see that. Okay. Now, of course, Mind Your Own Business is all about processes, meaning really how people can more efficiently run their business. That's a good summary. There's probably other ways to describe it, but I really think it's very important, especially in today's economy. Am I right?
I'm crying here.
What did I say? I always make women cry, Kurt. What is going on?
Oh, my goodness.
All I said was process, and it's tears of joy is what
okay.
It is.
Okay, we're going to come back to his language later.
Yes.
Okay, Mind Your Own Business is all about teaching you how to mind your own business. Literally, mind your own business, processes in the workplace, 7 steps to learning how to get to that ultimate goal, which is your business is running smoothly and you're on the golf course and you have time and energy to do what you do best.
And you decide what criteria means success for your business. And I we'll go over the 7 steps. I don't know if you want to do that first or get into some other things because I think it's, and we have plenty of time to do both.
Oh, we do. Well, let's get into where were you last month? You left us all alone here. You just, left us.
That's right. What
and
did I do?
We changed the whole structure of your show.
Oh, that is awesome. I might have been in Minnesota. I was in Minnesota.
You weren't in
that
Minnesota.
Time.
You were in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. It was Vegas and then Minnesota.
How did I know that, Kurt, that he was in Vegas?
I was in Vegas. Now, let me ask you this.
It stays in Vegas?
It stayed in Vegas. It did stay in Vegas, I have to say. And I got the doctor bill to prove it. But anyway, no, I'm kidding, of course. But the thing is, that was with the National Hockey League. I was at the awards ceremony for the NHL and then off to Minnesota for the National Hockey League draft. That was awesome.
Wow, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. It was a lot of
Your
fun.
Your sports show is doing really well.
Yeah, sports is really cooking, and we enjoy supporting the local teams here and doing whatever we can to gain more awareness for the great Phoenix and the state of Arizona sports teams.
So you can answer this question.
This is a
why
good question.
Why are sports teams so organized and successful?
You know, that's a great question. I think, actually, you've hit something, I would say, like the jackpot in Las Vegas and the gold mine. Because think of a sports team, if they don't have systems, mm-hmm. if they're not organized, they're not going to be a very good team.
Well, number one, they have a coach.
Yeah.
And the coach is capable. He doesn't have the fear. He understands. Now, and I'm not a sports fanatic, so you have to help me out here. But I understand there's a playbook somewhere.
Oh, yes.
And I would assume that playbook is what I call a process.
Well, what's interesting, you hit something really.
Is that what
really,
it is?
Yes, I like what you said. First of all, they have a goal. Let's talk about, let's say even basketball. The goal is to win the NBA championship. That's their goal.
Okay.
Then they look at certain criteria. What is it going to take in terms of getting in the playoffs? And so they have criteria of how many games they should win. But more importantly, and like Kevin Guy says, who's the general manager and head coach of the Arizona Rattlers, And he's, of course, that's Arena Football. He calls usually every Friday. He says you can only control what you can control. You can't worry about the team. You really worry about the steps it takes to execute well. He's brilliant. He's a great coach. He's a great guy, by the way. In fact, July 29th, get out there to U.S. Airways Center to watch the Arizona Rattlers' first playoff game coming up.
Okay.
Now, so what you're talking about, a goal, and then you have a game plan. So you have a season plan, you have a game plan. Every game you need to execute, and there's certain plays, like in basketball. Can you imagine if no one knew what the other player is going to do, they'd run into each other.
That's right. That's a classic example of not having a process in your business. And actually, that's probably step three for me, the implementation is execution, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we can make colorful, really great presentations and great processes, great procedures. If we don't know what a process is, it's a procedure. It's a series of steps that we take systematically to get to that goal. And if we are not looking after that and we don't have a good coach and a good manager, so a coach is equal to a manager.
That's
for me,
right.
And managing that system's done, it's not a personal thing. It's not personal. It's all about taking the customer from the customer comes in the front door, gets on the phone, and then we end up getting paid for that service or product that we've just sold the customer. And how do we get there? It's all in a process.
And it should be an efficient process.
I liken it to a football game. Well, football for me.
You like football?
Soccer. Soccer for you, football for me.
Oh.
Now we get really confusing.
You saw the World Cup with the women?
I always see the World Cup with the women.
Oh, wow. Do you want to do an analysis of what happened to the U.S.? Okay, we'll do that later. I read your nonverbal very quickly. But
that's really good. We have to pull that into our process.
No doubt.
Nonverbal.
But I like what you said. If you compare it to athletics teams,
really,
the goal, the season goal, the game plan, and they all talk about a game plan.
Yeah.
And the structure, the defensive structure, how do you play defense? What offensive plays do you play? Who's going to be the first option? These are all things that are well thought out, and if they don't execute, guess what happens? You probably don't win. In business, the
falls
same
apart
way.
And you lose money.
Lots of money.
You lose money, you lose your time, you lose energy, complete drama. There's drama.
A lot of drama.
A lot of drama.
And there's always drama in the world, it seems like. Now, here's a question so listeners can start to think about where maybe we could call it dysfunction, we could call it weaknesses, maybe a breakdown of the system, or maybe even worse, no system. Where do you find anxiety in your business? I think that's a good question. Where do you find anxiety in your business? Now, we could ask you, where do you see other clients? And you can ask me, where do I see anxiety in people's business? And what would you say?
I see anxiety when the process is not working. Or there's too much drama going on. Or there's the people who need to follow the process in order to reach the goal and the mission of the business. They have their own mindset in there, which you can help me with NLP on that. But they have their own objective. So we're not all on the same page. We're not all, we're not like that team. We're not all pulled together with uniforms make a big difference in schools. I grew up wearing a uniform in school.
You know
what that does? It takes away. It takes everything away. Everybody's the same now.
And
there's no peer pressure anymore.
That's interesting. You know, that would be an advantage.
No, I'm not saying every business should wear a uniform, but I'm using that as when you put a team out there, a sports team, they wear a uniform. They're all the same, except for the goalie, right?
In the World Cup, yeah. They always wear something different. I wonder why. Kurt, you could...
He's very quiet today.
Come on in.
Yeah, why are you so quiet?
The water's warm.
Yeah, come on in.
He's looking for his headset, ladies and gentlemen. He's unwinding it. It's taking a lot longer than we ever would have thought.
We have new headsets.
It is new. Do you like the new headsets?
Yeah, what's the process for using these? Like, what happened here?
I don't know. I think they got
new
headsets.
We're all light awake today.
But I agree. I think when I think of anxiety with some of my clients, I think of timing of delivery creates anxiety. And also inaccurate or incomplete accounting records really causes people like to go nuts.
You and I both know that. That's crazy. We can't plan anything if we don't have accounting.
And so many people have like really incomplete records.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know. I don't understand.
We can't do budgeting. We can't plan. We don't know what we can spend for marketing. We don't know what the sales department's going to need. It's amazing what happens from the accounting system.
It really is. Yeah. Would you say that's like the foundation, the backbone of
absolutely.
A business?
Yeah.
And I wonder why people don't spend more time. And it's not just looking at the numbers. It's really looking past the numbers to really understand what it means. What I call it from an NLP standpoint, what are the psychological patterns that create the numbers on the balance sheet or the profit and loss? In other words, there's always something in the mindset that from inside to manifest outside. So people, it's almost like blaming your checkbook for not having enough money in it.
Is it they don't want to know in case they don't like it?
Well, I think
let's not look at it and it might go away.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. And I think people are stuck in their self-imposed limitations and they do what's comfortable. And what really gets me are the people that think they can do their accounting on their own when they're not accountants. It's like, oh, I'll save money. Yeah, right. You know, we're going to have to redo everything.
Well, I think it's the accountant will come in at the year end and take care of it and fix it.
And
then we enable that to happen because that's what we do. So one of the first things I do with the company is I go through the accounting and set up the accounting system,
make sure
it's working. Because from there, now we can get the plan in place.
Yeah.
We can see what we can afford to pay for at this point, what we need to pay down the road, and we can start putting a budget together and putting that process in place. Now we start working on sales processes, operations, like all the procedures to take that customer right through the company. Customer service, collections, receivables, you name it. It's all a procedure and it's all a process. And it's all a separate one, but they're all tied together.
But I like the word you use is procedure. I think people really can relate to that. And you just ask the question, really, what is your procedure to any part of the sales process or the entire sales process? Mm-hmm. Everyone seems so focused on sales, but do they really have a highly effective sales process? Now, in my mind, that would also mean something you and I are going to do really in workshops is that it's the skill sets, too. It's not just the structure. It's not just the step-by-step. But do you have the highest level skill sets?
The training.
Yeah, to become
it's all about training.
The greatest salesperson in the world. Or do you just settle for where you're at?
Well, if your employee is not, first of all, if they're not working or not producing, you have to look at, do they clearly understand the message out there?
Because
they need to be talking the same message you are about your business.
That's a good point, yeah.
If I have an employee, I want that employee to talk the same language, the same message that I do.
Very important.
Because they're the window for my business.
And they're the representative of how they represent your business becomes critical.
So now we put the process or procedure in place. This is what we want to say to the potential customer. This is the message that we want out there. And we give them the tools to do that. We give them the training to do that. Now, if they still don't want to do it, or you can't teach, I believe you can't teach Will. You just can't teach that.
I knew a guy named Will, and he was very teachable. No, really.
Will
Smith.
It was you taught Will.
Yeah, he was very good. Remember Will Smith, right, Kurt?
Oh, yes.
Didn't he do a good job in Alley?
He's such a smarty.
I'm a smarty.
I was going to say something else, but I'll stick with a smarty.
No, you're going to say
they're like
smarty
M&Ms.
Pants.
Smarty pants is good. That's
smarty
acceptable.
Smarty pants is good. That's acceptable, smarty pants?
That you can say. Yep.
Now, talking about acceptable, how about this statement for the listeners? Is this, what is unacceptable in terms of results and performance and structure and systems in your business that you end up accepting? So many people know that something's unacceptable, but they still allow it to happen.
Okay, why do people do that? That's a great question.
It is a great. What do you think, Kurt?
Why do people do that?
Define what you mean by that. Give an example.
I'll give you a couple examples. One is, people know that low cash flow, or they forget to do billings, or maybe they delay collection because they're fighting fires, and cash is everything. You know, it's not just profit, but it's can you generate cash to continue operating? And if it's unacceptable, if you define a certain job and say you have to get the billings out at a certain time, you have to have a process of collections. You can't randomly just say, oh, I think I'll collect now. And if that's unacceptable by definition for your company,
yeah,
why would someone allow that to be acceptable? Oh, I see a hand up. It must be Barb.
I might be able to.
It's the one who knows.
It's the one who knows.
I believe that it's a combination, internal and external.
Excellent. Yes.
I really do. I believe there's a certain amount of internal fear for whatever.
Yeah.
Really?
I really do believe there's a personal aspect to that.
Absolutely.
And the second thing is, if you've set the accountability in place, if it's not supposed to be acceptable, then there's no accountability, and we're enabling bad behavior. We do it in personal relationships all the time. We don't set boundaries. We enable bad behavior. You know, so why wouldn't it be in business? We're all human, and we're all working together.
I think that's a great answer, and when we come back from our break, I want to continue that because some key words that Barbara just said is accountability. Not enough people have that, or not enough people really stick to it and enforce it, and when we come back, we will continue our discussion.
And you've been making notes.
That's right, with the star of Mind Your Own Business, Barbara Haggerty. We'll be right back.
You call 911. The firemen don't know what to do. The truck's got a flat tire. The water hose has a leak. They can't decide what to wear. And everybody wants to drive the truck. This never happens because they have a process. They follow it. They're on the same page. I'll help you put your fires out with a business process. I'm Barbara Haggerty, helping you mind your own business. 602-750-4518. Increase the bottom line now. Even a two-person business needs a process, and I specialize in small business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is Mind Your Own Business, starring Barbara Haggerty. Hey, Barb. Oh, I said it again, didn't I?
Yeah, better watch it.
Watch it, buddy.
Boy, right? You are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm in big trouble. And
wait till Dad gets home. You are in trouble.
You're Americanizing my name.
Now that's
here.
That's a system too, right, Barbara? Is wait till Dad
wait
gets
till
home.
Wait till your father gets home.
Yeah, what's the structure and system of that?
Oh, you're going to get a beating for sure.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no system with that at all.
That's right. Well, you got to know where the belt is. Maybe that's it's right. Hanging up.
Oh, no, that's his problem.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You don't need to know anything.
With those big the belt with the big hooks on them that rip the meat right off you.
Oh,
you
know? Just great. Oh, the visualization of that.
Wow.
Wow.
He needs therapy.
Yes.
You are so right.
How long have you had this issue?
A long time.
Again, we'll fix him.
We will.
Yeah, we'll put a procedure in place for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That
we'll take that fear away.
It'll be only the belt every Monday and Wednesday.
I'll bring in different belts.
Thank you so much.
How about that?
Oh.
Well, I have belts to match my shoes, so I'll bring in a different belt.
Well, we're talking about a different topic now.
She has different belts. My goodness.
We'll reframe the belt memory.
Yeah.
I just can't wait.
Well, I'm not going to film it. All right. Well, maybe I will. So it just depends. Now, you brought up a keyword.
You take so many notes here.
I do.
So you can throw it back at me?
Yeah,
what did I say?
I love some of these words. Accountability is everything. And if people had more accountability in business,
mm-hmm.
and they created a system where it's unacceptable not to perform at a certain level, and you're accountable for that and responsible.
Okay, right there. That point right there is
the
anxiety. The question you asked
me,
where's the anxiety in your business? It's that point right there. Now, if I give you a job description, and I don't explain it, and you don't ask.
A break in the system.
Right. There's a break right there before you even start work.
I like that. That's a very simple way to explain it. It's like
how do I hold you accountable then?
You can't.
Because we didn't explain each other.
And that's a very good point. And you said anxiety. And, you know, and people, I hear as a CPA, most of the complaints are, I can't seem to find good employees. Have you heard that too?
Yeah, I hear that all the time. And the answer, we talked a little bit about this last month when he was missing in
MIA. Is that right?
You MIA both? In Vegas.
We did, yeah.
We did. We talked a lot about that. And
talked a lot about you too, but we won't go into that. So,
oh, did you have one of those video cameras in my room?
Oh yeah,
we had a GPS.
I know.
And
I've been getting residual income.
We
ever
know exactly
since.
What got left in Vegas.
So anyway,
okay. So back to the seriousness
of this. Hello to Julie in Nevada. No, I'm kidding.
That's where I believe this personally, and from my own experience, I see managers, owners, general managers, CEOs, you name it. I've seen that's the anxiety there. Like, how do I make this person who I like, I really like this person, working for me or working with me?
And so you cut them slack in performance because...
How do I hold them accountable? Really, like, how can I tell them what the consequences are?
You know,
so this is where you follow another procedure. You need to step back. You need to step back a bit. We can't... I know there's different management styles that, you know, we have one person who's up here, everybody else is down here. Then we have another management style where we're all equal and we all share the glory.
Right.
But we really cannot be... Am I not close enough to the mic?
I didn't think so.
Okay.
I was doing some direction for Kurt. How did I do, Kurt?
Really well.
Okay, thank you,
Kurt.
Wow,
who was that?
Thank you. I don't know. He's
in anticipation of the belt.
Let him take his headset off, I think.
Okay, bye.
No, just kidding. We liked your voices.
I got a bunch of them.
Okay.
And it's unconscious.
That's right. Yeah.
It's his subconscious mind at work.
Oh, yes.
And there's another subject.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Okay,
oh, yes.
Okay, Sybil. Anyway.
Her too, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, where were we?
Now, you were talking about how do you hold them accountable. That's
a
process in itself.
First, you have to define what they're accountable for.
Yeah.
If we don't go right back there to the beginning, like you have to go to the source. If you have any kind of conflict at all, you have to go to the source.
That's right.
I believe that. You can correct me if I'm wrong in any
of
this.
You are absolutely right.
But
yes, dear.
But I am speaking personally and professionally from my own experience that this is the most stressful area. How do you hold people accountable? So we go right back to the very beginning. We put processes in place, procedures in place. Everybody's heard of standard operating procedures.
Yeah.
You know, even down to, we do it every day unconsciously, subconsciously. So let's define what the job description is, what your tasks each day are. And then report to me that you have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and if you don't, mm-hmm. there's consequences.
But why do people not do that?
This
why are we going around that same mulberry bush all the time?
Because David and I like to keep employed.
Well, I suppose that's true too. Yes.
No, that's where he's coming in with the NLP. There's a mindset. So we have external processes. We have internal. We all work with them. They work for us. We work for them. We work for our own process in our mind.
Well, because as a former employer myself, I did the exact same thing you're talking about. I would hire somebody and give them an explanation of, well, you know, here's what I need to have done. Here's how long you have to get it done,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. Because I didn't want, even as an employer, I didn't want to have those nasty conversations where you are not cutting it. You
right.
know, and I don't want them coming back to me as an employee to the boss going, well, I didn't know you wanted that. You know, and if they, right. but if you don't define it to them, how are they supposed to know?
And we've talked about this before. It's the communicator that is responsible for communicating the message. So let's communicate first up front. This is what I want done, and this is how I would like it done. And this is the compensation for doing that.
Right.
So there's an exchange there. Now we're fair. So now you go out and you do what's expected of you and account back to me what you've done. That's where the problem lies now. So when I don't do that, how do you hold me accountable? Like, how do you emotionally, your emotions are now involved in it. Oh, I don't want to be tough on this person. Maybe they have a hard time at home. And we do this personally, too, with our friends and spouses
and
relationship partners.
Well, what happens, I think it's common knowledge that people continue to repeat their same behavior patterns, doing the same thing over and over again, including managers with their employees. Now, from a starting point, I like what you said. You know, what are you accountable for? So what's the job description? What's the task?
Sure.
And then another element where I think managers fall off or owners is that they're not tracking, monitoring, measuring, and then adjusting someone's performance. I think from an NLP standpoint, what you have is too many people caught in their self-imposed limitations. They're just getting by for whatever reason. They're saying, well, I don't get paid enough, so I'm only going to do this. Rather than having the belief and always the first thought of how do I exceed anything that is in my job description, how do I perform in an excellent fashion? And once you start thinking that way, then you naturally upgrade your skills. And I think this is very important. And not enough companies do that. It's all about their beliefs. It's about their self-imposed limitations. It's about just getting by. And sometimes there might be some emotional attachment, like I said, is if someone thinks they're being treated unfairly, that will be reflected in their performance. Like, well, I'll just do the bare minimum.
Right.
Yeah. And that's craziness.
Right.
But does it really hurt? It really hurts the person not excelling or not even reaching their full potential.
Sure it does.
It's crazy, right?
It's just hurting it's hurting myself if I don't do that.
No question about it.
Absolutely.
So.
And why not do it? Because it just raises the energy. Everybody works better together.
And so the summary of that answer, I think, is what NLP offers. And what very few businesses do, they will implement, not all of them even, very few, but they'll look at the external systems. They'll look at how to build a great race car, but they forget to train the driver.
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, what good is putting all your resources in an amazing race car, and then you'd never train the driver? Or worse, maybe, I don't know if it's worse, but you have a driver that doesn't believe they can win, and they don't even know how to, they've never raced before.
And they're a little scared to go around the track.
Yeah.
They're a little scared to speed up.
But that's exactly what happens. So training the driver with empowering beliefs becomes very critical. So there's really an opportunity for businesses, and anyone listening out there right this second, and if you're in business, even if you're not in business, the goal of everyone should be to grow to reach their full potential, even if you're an employee. Unless you want to be stuck in the same job, doing the same thing, unless you're passionate about it and that's your purpose, but most people don't know their purpose. And that's another very important thing.
Hey, that's a great process.
Yeah, finding your purpose.
What color is your rainbow?
Parachute.
What Color is Your Parachute?
Yeah, very famous book.
Really good.
It is famous.
Yeah.
That's an old book.
It's about finding your purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or meditation will do that.
That's right.
So there's a trip to Vegas to find your purpose.
That doesn't hurt either, yes.
All right.
And then Minnesota.
That was, yes. I have fond memories of Minnesota.
Oh, he's getting quiet.
Yeah, and when we come back from our break.
He's going quiet on us.
Oh, yes.
I'll take us to break if you're shy.
I bet after the break, Kurt has some audio, maybe even video, of maybe the Vegas trip and the Minnesota trip. And we'll be right back to continue our discussion with Barbara Haggerty from and star of Mind Your Own Business. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Enabling.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Mind Your Own Business with Barbara Haggerty. And we've been talking about various really processes, structures of your business. And not more importantly, but as important is your mindset in terms of how you think about your job, how you think about your performance. And I think that's critical to always set sights higher than you would ordinarily do. You set sights above your self-imposed limitations. It's like reaching for the stars. And Barbara and Kurt, you've heard that before. Reach for the stars. And if you don't make it that far, at least you're further than you would have been.
That's
absolutely
right.
Why do people? So let me pose a question to the first one that says, rings the bell. I don't know if you have a bell. But I don't have a bell. Okay, then just.
So it's unfair.
Just say your name. Oh, you do have a bell. Okay.
He has a bell.
Why is it that people do not usually work above their self-imposed limitations? Who wants to answer that one?
It's usually money.
Okay, so you're going for money for two. Okay, money.
I would say also it would depend on the atmosphere in which you're working. Do you perceive that if you put yourself out there, if you put in that extra work, which Barb was talking about just before the break, will it make a difference in your life? You know, will there be any somehow reward for that extra effort? If you think there isn't, then why are you going to bother trying?
And what you're saying, Kurt, I believe, is it a corporate structure and environment that supports excellent performance? And very few have that built in place.
Yes.
That's another structure in itself, Barbara.
Corporate structure is one thing. So, you know, I'm a big advocate for small business. I love small business.
Sure.
I think everybody should be having their own small business. I have seen over the years that people come from a corporate world and they'll do one or two things. They'll try to turn that small business that they just acquired, bought, put their retirement into. They try to turn it into a major corporation and structure, but there's 20 people working there.
Yeah.
So it's not a major corporation.
That
and it can't
sense.
Operate that way. There's not enough levels of management for it to operate that way. And then it's difficult for them to come down to the level of this is a small business. So then then it goes all the way to the other side, which, oh, now we're a family.
Yeah, that's right.
We don't need any structure. We all know each other, and everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing. Of course he knows. You know, I know what Dave's supposed to be doing.
We all know
that. You mean he doesn't know? Not in Vegas. I'm going to Vegas next time.
That's right. Yeah.
Next time I'm going with a sports show.
Yeah.
And Kurt will be there hoping for a variety of belts.
Well, Vegas is the place to get them if that's what you want.
Really? I didn't go to the belt store to buy any.
There's some pretty wild belts there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's have another show.
That's right.
The
yes.
belt show.
The belt
or
show.
The breakthrough belting.
No.
Oh, yes. Yes. I like it already.
Okay. You two are in a mood today. I can
tell. Know. Well, no, and back to your thing, though. I think back to the question, and we'll try to get this back on track. I think, though, a lot of people, if you talk to people who are not managers or sub-managers, just the average Joe Blow working maybe on the line, if you went up to them and said, how could you make your job better? I'll bet you they'd have reasons, or not reasons, maybe reasons isn't the right word, but ways or processes that would make their job better, more efficient, which, of course, in the long run means more money for the company.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the structure, because of the atmosphere that has been created mm-hmm. by middle and upper management, they say, why bother? I'm not going to go to all that trouble and tell them all these ideas because they're not going to listen to me anyway.
Okay.
So I'm just going to sit here in my you know, $10 an hour job, and I'm just going to sit here and suffer and complain about it because I'm not going to get anywhere anyway.
And that's exactly what we hear 90% of the time.
Sure.
90% of the time.
I could
have ideas how to make my job better, but would somebody pay me for them?
Right.
You know. Well, but, you know, that comes from, I'm sure there's a personal internal guidance structure.
Yes.
What is it called? Guidance system?
An internal guidance system.
A GPS system?
Internal
actually, GPS?
Very similar.
Right. Well, I'm sure there's an internal structure for that emotion and thought process that, hey, I'm making $10 an hour. So, you know, like you and I have worked for $10 an hour when we take on a project and it takes like five times the length that we...
That happens so often.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's true. And
but really, we have.
There's unconscious things going on.
So there's something going on there. Well, and there has to be an exchange of something. Like you said earlier, there has to be a reward. Like, how am I going to be rewarded for an increase in my job performance? And usually in the business place, no matter if everybody tells the truth, it's usually money.
Sure, sure.
It's all about money. But if we increase the performance of the sales department, then there is money to pay for another department to increase. But there has to be accountability on both sides.
And see, I think that's what the average employee doesn't get.
Right.
You know, they don't feel that, okay, if I make my department more efficient, that means the next department down the line, they can start working and becoming more efficient. And by the end of the year, we're a much more efficient company. Great. Now, do we get a raise because we've all been working harder? And quite often the answer is no. They don't get rewarded for all of this. And so they say, why should I go to all the trouble to do that?
Yeah.
And you say, but you want to make yourself a better person. You know, the NLP thing that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great pie in the sky for a lot of people. But I think a lot of people are frustrated. If you read the book by Studs Terkel, you know, Working, that's what they were saying so often. You know, is that why should I bother putting myself out? I'm not going to get anywhere anyway.
I'll tell you the reason, though, is it's all in the thinking process.
Okay.
Because if it's on the short-term reward, in fact, Barbara and I were talking about this at lunch earlier,
mm-hmm.
short-term reward versus long-term value.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what that means.
We were at lunch earlier?
Yes, we were.
Oh, you mean on the phone?
Yeah, we were on the phone eating lunch. And what happened was you take a guy like Warren Buffett, and, you know, he's not as focused on the short-term salary for himself,
right.
but the long-term equity buildup. And I think if employees had that perception, along with really having owners that paid attention to their internal mindset, because the structure of any corporation, of any business, is a result of the owner or the person in charge, their own self-imposed limitation, and their own fears. But if they had an environment, a learning environment, or an environment that would support high-level excellence and growth, you would start attracting the right people that thought, oh, maybe now I may not get paid as much, but this experience is valuable. The company growth is what's important, because as I promote the company and the company grows, there will be more rewards. It's long-term thinking versus short-term thinking.
That's right.
And that's why the country's in this mess, because of greed and short-term thinking. That's my commentary today. I'm off to
and
Vegas.
That's enough about politics.
No, is that good, though?
Yeah.
Well,
but that's, it makes that's sense. The truth, and it's all about the leadership. And especially small business, we can't expect employees to decide what's better for the business, really. In reality, we want to, but in reality, we're so busy in small business because we're multitasking a
lot.
That's
right.
And we're wearing many hats. So we don't have time to think that depth of strategy. So we just get in there, take care of business, and get out.
Well, and that's partly the American culture, too. I mean, we are definitely short. In our culture, we are just hammered with wanting immediate gratification. I want results now.
Right.
They don't want to be talking about, you know, 4 years down the road. You know, so often you talk to a manager and say, well, what you're doing now is doesn't make any sense. Don't you realize that maybe 4 years down the road you're going to be out of business? He said, all I've got to worry about is my next quarter's quotas. And that's all that matters. But
yeah,
see, that's what Dave was saying. It's always short-term thinking, and they never see the bigger picture.
Well, we actually have a plan. We have a plan, actually.
We have
you
a
and
plan.
I. We
yes,
have a plan.
Have a it
plan.
Is a plan that...
is it a good plan?
It's an excellent
it
plan.
It was in
and
Vegas,
it's actually,
but it stays in Vegas.
we're going to Vegas.
Well, I like that idea.
We're going to teach in Vegas.
Yes. Oh,
maybe
I always wanted to, by the way.
Teach in Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah, I have the belts to prove it.
Well, what... oh, boy. Let me bring you guys back to Earth here. Okay. Earth to David.
I want
to
see.
No, really, Kurt. Do you like Barbara's accent? Is that a lovely accent?
Oh, absolutely.
It goes with the belt.
Back to the belts again. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, you should hear this accent when I'm wearing a belt.
But you know what you were
okay,
saying?
Okay, now we're right back. You know what we're right back to? And we always do this together.
We cycle back.
We do this together a lot. We always come right back to where we started today. The coach?
Yes.
It's the small business owner.
Yeah.
Okay. So the small business owner gets the training that they need to lead.
I agree.
So they have to have the leadership. They have to understand the mindset, the personalities of the employees.
Very important.
Because that's the person who's going to lead this team to where they want to go. What's the goal? What's the NBA goal up here? The coach takes them there. But the owner of the small business is going to take his company there.
And that's the challenge, too, because the owners in the what we call the rat race or the just the bouncing off the walls trying to get things done because there was no planning is to get them to change their way of thinking
long-term.
First. And it's very important. As far as employees, what's interesting, I believe employees guard their own turf. And I think, Kurt, you were pretty much saying that.
Yeah.
And that's a shame because when you guard your own turf, that means you're really disconnected from the whole. And you really should understand the goal. It's almost like, let's go back to athletics. I mean, the game plan is not a one person on the team plan. It's a game plan. It's a team. Okay. And
it's
unless
team effort, yes.
Yeah, and unless you are coordinated and with the having the proper game plan, the plays, and everyone fits in and executes together.
Right.
And that's
you don't
the key,
have a win
together. Now if each member of the team doesn't have their role, which is back to a process, it's a series of roles and tasks systematically to get from A to B and to get to the desired result.
Absolutely.
That we want.
But you see, but it all comes back to what you were saying, though. That middle manager or the owner has got to create that environment so that the employee that we're talking about right now will feel as though, hey, I have an idea. I want to go to them. And, you know, if it works out well, you know, we'll all be better off. But I think too often, as Barb has pointed out so often, they don't have a plan.
I gotta get him
they
for that.
Don't have what?
You call her Barb, that's what.
As opposed to what?
Yes, Kay.
Kay for Kurt. We're back to the bell, so I know that.
All right, back to you,
B for
Barb.
Barbara.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I'm glad you clarified what the B stood for.
I'm not going to touch that one. That one's real easy, but no way.
That manager has to understand as well. Yeah. Before he can create, because we can't put that in a pressure on another person, which is why we have this whole program put together.
Yeah.
If we can ever get time to implement it. See, we're stuck at that implementation.
Oh, absolutely.
We are. We're stuck in our own process.
Absolutely.
We have a process of our own that we developed, and we are stuck at implementation, which is where most small businesses get stuck.
And this is a great segue
And you don't like me speaking our dirty laundry.
I love that. I love that, especially since I just came back from Las Vegas.
But we are. We're stuck there.
And then we're going to unstick ourselves.
Yes, we are.
After the break and describe how we're going to do this. The 7 Steps to Incredible Excellence. I know that's not the title. What is it? The 7 Steps to...
The 7 Steps to Business Excellence.
There we go. I was close enough.
Yeah, very close.
That's the book.
And when we
it's
coming out at a theater and driving near you. We'll be right back.
Is it important for you to develop a financial plan without the potential conflict associated with commission sales? As a fee-only financial planner, I am paid by you and only you, my client. I'm not compensated in any way by the recommendations I provide. Have you heard the phrase, people do not plan to fail, they fail to plan? My experience has shown that this is too often true when considering one's financial future. If you're ready to take action, call me, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Divorce Financial Analyst, directly at 602-235-0336. We'll discuss your financial situation and review some small or perhaps large changes that will help you obtain the financial future you desire. Don't let the lack of a plan affect your family's financial future. Call me, Bob Berger, at 602-235-0336 for a free consultation. Again, Bob Berger, Certified Financial Planner, 602-235-0336.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Mind Your Own Business, starring Barbara Haggerty. And no, she does not have a belt store, but perhaps Kurt will be
opening a new
the
store.
The funder.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. The financial
yes,
biker.
The investor.
Yeah.
And the main attractor.
Yeah.
Okay, there
for
we go.
For Barbara's belts.
That's like right.
That.
Now,
okay.
We were talking about the 7 steps to business excellence, and we were talking about the implementation stage,
right?
Which is seems to be a challenge for a lot of people. But let's just go through it because what's the first step?
Well, you do an assessment. We like to call it a wellness check.
Oh, I like that.
I like wellness check. It's more positive than you know, an assessment on what's wrong with your business. Let's do a wellness check. Rather than a bankruptcy
check. Or no check. Or the check's in the mail. I don't know which one.
It's always in the mail.
We'll do a wellness we'll do a wellness check questionnaire.
That's sort of cool.
And we'll see where we need to go from there. So we do a wellness check.
And then
we plan from that.
Hugely
we
important.
We plan, yeah.
And why is planning important for 10 points, either Kurt or Barbara?
Kurt's your call.
Your call.
Because I already know.
I'll see your call and we'll raise your 5.
And if you don't answer, you get the belt.
That's right.
Now he's not going to answer.
Now we're back to the belts again. Oh, man.
Because if we don't plan a little bit,
Or even a lot.
Or even a lot. We don't know where we're going.
Exactly. Yeah.
A plan is really
bringing
the future
forward.
But
I am really in trouble
forward.
Because my boyfriend likes to plan and I don't like to plan.
Well, how does that work? Let's talk about that.
And we don't need to talk about my personal life on the air.
No, I think it's about structure.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. It's about structure. Isn't that? Is it interesting.
It's a conflict.
Sure. And how do you resolve
it? We discuss it.
And?
And
then he says,
we have a
yes,
partial
dear.
Plan.
Yes, dear. And he goes, walks away.
I'm going to guess right now who wins.
He likes the belt.
Oh, well.
All right. Let's
now
go
we're back.
Back
to the belts again.
I'm going back to planning on this one.
Okay. Get back
so
to the
process.
So
we assess what's needed, and then we start planning. And planning is an art in itself. A lot of people think they know how to plan, but there's really a system and a process
in
strategic
right.
planning, not just mechanically, but from your mind. I mean, there's certain rules. I would say there's certain ways of thinking when you're in a strategic plan. And I'll give you one tip right now. When you're doing strategic planning, let's put it this way, set the stage and say, this is about opportunities and possibilities. So defer any judgment, any evaluation, and just think about it. Don't say, this can't be done. That defeats the purpose of a strategic plan. Am I right, Barbara?
That's why we like the six thinking hats. We always refer back to the six thinking hats.
Did you
positive.
Say stinking hats
six,
or thinking hats?
Six thinking hats.
All right. And I like that. You brought that up.
He's in a daydream. He's meditating.
So plan. Now, after the planning.
Now, plan. Now, that's a good point on the plan. Because in order, like back to the beginning, how does the coach get them to the NBA? Or wherever they're going,
the NBA championship.
The World Cup. We have to plan to get there.
Yeah.
So it's a series of that's a major, major part of the business is the plan.
You know, it is huge because if you don't, it's really like a map. And if you're going to travel from a certain destination to another point, if you don't have a map, it could be a problem. Mm-hmm. And it will be a problem generally. And you want to take the best and shortest, most effective route usually.
Right.
And mapping it out becomes very important as far as the efficiency and effectiveness in so many different ways.
Well, what it does, and we've talked about it many times, is we have an overall, the whole process map has layers like a Pandora's box. So we have the overall picture. The big picture.
Yeah.
And underneath that are the steps that each person, each, and I try to take personal names out of it. It's not Mary at the front desk. It's just the front desk.
Well, I gotcha.
It's not, it's not, we don't attach names to it because then it gets personal. So the role of the front desk, the role of customer service, then we start going like a Pandora's box. We open that up. This is the role for that. And then how do we do that? What are the tasks that we need to do every day to accomplish that? So we go probably down 4 or 5 levels. You know, like a spreadsheet, we just keep clicking down through.
Well, you know, the
I do it on a spreadsheet. So we
keep
delving deeper and deeper into it until we get to your task list, your job description. This is what you do. And so now you can understand when you interview for this job, which is a process in itself too. But now you interview for the job, you pick up your plan, your process map, and your whole structure of your job and your to-do list, how to do it, your training manual, everything's there. And your accountability structure, your reporting mechanism.
And that's where I think companies fall short also. Even if they get to that level of the what, I call it, the task, like you said, they forget often, not everyone, but a lot of companies, the how. How do you perform your tasks? Meaning attitude, training and customer service. It's not just calling someone, but how do you relate to them? What is your voice tone?
What
is
your attitude? Yeah, what's your attitude to the customer?
A lot of people don't do that. I just had an experience. I won't mention the company, but I was very impressed with this company because there was a certain a billing error in a couple months ago. And they acknowledged it, but they didn't fix it, and they no one got back to me. So when they called me today, I just said, well, I want to speak to the highest level person. What was impressive, within 10 minutes, the chief operating officer, the chief The chief operating officer called back.
Wow.
And he didn't have an attitude in terms like, well, you know, what do you want? He said, I'm really sorry. Something probably fell through the cracks. We take personal responsibility. That is customer service.
And we all make mistakes. That's okay. We all make boo-boos.
But that was brilliant.
And that was nice.
I liked it so much. I said, I want to get you on the air on one of my business shows. Hey, maybe he could be on this show.
Let's bring him on. Yeah,
do it.
Big company. And
you know what? I'll bet anything. I want to ask him, has he ever been a customer in his own business?
Yeah.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Think about that.
If you're a customer in your own business, that's how you learn that.
And would you like to be a customer in your own business?
Well, isn't that a great question?
Well, on a simple level,
if
you are a manager or if you are an owner of a business, do you ever, like on the telephone, do you ever call your own business just to see how your customers are being treated? That's a great way of finding out how your customers are really being dealt with.
Well, that's the whole business of mystery shopping.
I was just going to say
and
that.
We you have read my mind. Undercover Boss now on TV.
Oh, yeah, that's
there's Undercover Boss.
Hey, we could do that.
Yeah, sure we could.
This show can be an undercover, what would we call it?
Undercover.
Breakthrough Undercover, something like that.
Breakthrough Undercover.
Undercover Belt.
It's the first time.
I mean, that's what.
Oh, geez, here we go again.
I was going to say for once we get stuck for a word there, but not.
But we got
it.
Actually, that's a great idea. We could be the standard of excellence doing surveys and health business health checkups with or wellness checkups with companies and do a company of the month award or something.
What do you think? Well, we do that already. We offer anybody announce it that we offer a free consultation on the air?
Oh. Did anyone say that, Kurt?
I believe they did.
Yeah, when? We're so busy talking
did they
about
say
belts
that
we forgot.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we do that. Just so the listeners are aware of that, we do offer cost-free consultation on the air.
That's you can like caffeine-free.
And what is the caffeine-free number?
What's
the show number so that people can call in? Where are you guys?
Area code 602 296-36.
And you only have like 2 minutes to call.
Yeah, actually, about 3 minutes, but that's about all.
Stay with me now, you two. Okay, so we went here. If you cannot finish your plan, your process, don't even try to communicate and implement it until
the plan's done.
You complete that because it's like starting to play football in the middle of a planning session.
Well, that
and
would
expect
be
to
fun.
Win.
That would not be good, would it?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. And I agree. And I think the whole point is another way of looking at strategic planning is looking at your completed model. Look 10 years from now and work backwards to how you got there. I think that's another good tool and technique.
Well, we keep, like we have, once you work through that, you know, it's a living document. You're always going to be changing it.
I would agree.
So you have to keep it a living document so you revisit this regularly. You know, how does it work? And that's where when you become a customer in your own business, that's how you find out how your process really works.
That really makes sense, is that I think people should really view that, and it really brings them into what we call second position, looking through the eyes of those who really you serve. And see where and what type of strengths you have, what weaknesses you have, and don't allow the weakness to stay weak.
And you know, call your customer and say, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah.
We just did business.
You know
with
what
you.
We used to do?
Why did we do?
We gave report cards out back in my firm in Century City years ago and actually said, rate us A, B, or whatever. And it was great feedback in various different areas. And That was pretty bold, I thought, because most
taking
of
taking a chance, yeah.
Yeah, but it was good feedback.
Well, that's good.
Sure.
It's good to
but
do
it
that.
Also identified people that maybe had the wrong perception.
Right.
And there was one that had the wrong perception, but we had the opportunity to explain it, and they totally switched. They go, in that case, you get A's.
See?
It was interesting.
Now, did you practice NLP back then?
I started to get into it back then, and I knew that was the key to business success. As well as life success. So, and then since then, 3 certifications later. And, wow, we're out of time already. Can you believe it?
Are we out of time already?
It's already 3 o'clock. So,
thank you.
Barbara Haggerty, thank you. How do they get in touch with you, Barbara?
You get in touch with me either through the radio here or directly at 602-750-4518.
And what is that again?
602-750-4518. It's Barbara signing
off. Absolutely.
And minding your own business.
Yeah, and we'll see you next month. And everyone stay tuned for the Business Innovation Panel. Some new panel members. I can't wait to introduce them and talk about some high-level business concepts, innovative marketing, and other strategies to increase your business. We'll be right back.